Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am continuing a series that I started on Monday of this week talking about financial stewardship. And I tell you, with all the things that have happened in the world concerning finances, I think that this is timely. There's many of you that have experienced problems, and you're probably looking for some answers and asking the Lord, what do I do? And I believe that there is a lot of instruction in the Word of God about financial prosperity, and so that's the reason that I'm teaching on this. Now, I've already finished the first teaching in this album that I have entitled Financial Stewardship, and yesterday was my last day to teach on that. Basically, the number one point that I made in this first teaching is that you need to develop the attitude of a steward, that God is your source. God is the one who is prospering you. Therefore, you are just a steward. You're managing His money. Quit looking at things as being your own. And if you would do that, then you would become dependent upon God. You'd seek His direction. I guarantee you that would influence your choices, your purchases, your investments. God would lead you. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. John 16:13 says that. And if you were really saying, God, this is your money, then instead of you just doing with it what you want and leaning under your own understanding, God would show you when there's financial crisis coming. He would show you that this is not a good time to be doing this. Or, I believe right now, God is speaking to people and saying, boy, now is a great time to be doing things and expanding because other people are selling things for a fraction of what they're worth. And there will be a turnaround and things are going to work and it'll be positive and this is a great time. See, if you listen to the Lord will lead you and guide you and show you things to do. You know, in my own personal finances, this is going back many years ago, but say 22 years ago, my wife and I were just to a place where we were beginning to prosper to a degree. We weren't real prosperous, but we had a little bit of prosperity. And prior to 22 years ago, I had been moving, going from church to church and doing different things. And I really felt impressed in my heart not to become encumbered with a mortgage payment that would keep me from obeying God if He told me to move. So we were always in a situation that within a few days of God speaking to me, I could be gone. And we had rented houses our entire married life up until that time. Well, about 22 years ago, the Lord just told us I could live anywhere I wanted to, that I was going to be traveling like this. And so we chose to be here in the Colorado Springs area. We felt like God gave us the go-ahead to get a house. And it's a long story. I could spend the whole program talking about that, and I'm not going to do it. But basically, we followed God, and God told us to buy. And it was during a depressed time. The market was bad in Colorado Springs. Loans were hard to come by. And in the natural, it didn't make sense. But we prayed about it, and we felt this was God's leading. And some of you have heard me make reference to this, but I didn't have much money. I was going to get a $45,000 mobile home and put it on this property that we had bought because that's about where my finances were. And, of course, we were going to fix up some things around there. So maybe $50,000, $60,000 was about maximum for us. And a guy in my church. But, again, I credit all of this to God because I had made him my source. A man in my church who is a builder came to me and he says, you don't want a mobile home. And I said, well, it's not what I want, but that's what I can afford. You know, I'll get into this more later, but this is one of the things that you should do. If you see yourself as a steward, God doesn't want you to live above your means. There are some of you that have a diamond diet. That's what you like, you know, but you just don't have the resources to be able to accommodate that. So I was, first of all, trying to live within our resources where we were. But this man came to me and he says, I'm a builder. I'll build you that house and just have you pay the contractors, the subcontractors directly. He says, if you'll give me $3,000 for my time, then you just pay these bills. So I was able to get like a $120,000 house for $60,000 and then I paid the builder $3,000. So that was a major, major deal. But it stretched us. But we see, we prayed about it. We were stewards. We felt like this was what God was leading us to do. And it was a bad time. There was a lot of people saying, oh, it's going to get worse. But you know what? We did it. And it has turned out to be one of the best investments that we've ever had. Like I said, we sunk $63,000 into that house. We did do an add-on. It wasn't that much, but we have done some things. We put in a patio and we've done some things. But, you know, our tax evaluation on that property now is, I don't even know what it is. Last time I saw it, it's over $500,000. And it was one of the greatest investments we've ever made. We're debt-free. We've paid for that. And I'm saying this came about because it was God's money. Until we reached a place where there was stability in our life, where there was direction, and we felt like God told us this is what He wanted us to do. We rented houses. We did things differently. But when we obeyed God, it has turned out to be an investment that I can just guarantee you, I'm not that smart. This isn't me. I was talking to my mother recently. She just turned 96 years old, and I was in Texas visiting with her, and we were talking about the blessings of God on us and on the ministry and on things. And my mother, now this will really get you when your mother says this to you. She just looked at me and says, "That's God. You aren't that smart." Says, "It's not you that's caused this to prosper." She says, "This is God." And I said, "I agree 100%. It's God. But I tell you what, that's something when your mother tells you, you aren't smart enough to have this happen." But it's true. And because we didn't lean unto our own understanding, we sought God. We saw our resources as, this is God. God, what do you want us to do? God led us to do this. And here we are 20 years later. Our house is paid for. It's debt free. All of our cars are debt free. We don't owe anybody anything. And it's because we have been seeking God, and God causes us to prosper. Let's go back to Luke chapter 16. This is the verse that I started with at the beginning of this week. I started with the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 16, and that goes from verses 1 through 8. In verse 9 is where the Lord makes an application of this parable. And I'm going to go back and I'm going to teach on this parable of the unjust steward. But let's start reading in verse 10. This is right after He had given this parable and its interpretation. He said in Luke 16:10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's," notice this terminology, another man's, that's what I've been talking about, being a steward. If you haven't, first of all, been faithful as a steward, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, which is just an old English way of saying you can't serve God and money. You have to put God first. You have to recognize God is your source. And so these verses, these are powerful verses, and they have a lot of different applications. This is one of those passages of Scripture that actually has multiple meanings or multiple applications to different things. And, you know, often we have people come into our Bible school and they feel called to ministry, and so they want to go pastor a 1,000-member church. That's the vision that they've got. But they haven't ever taught a Bible study. They've never been an associate pastor. They've never ministered in a youth group. They haven't ever started with little and increased it to much. And so one of the applications of these passages of Scripture that we make often to people is that, you know, if you want to pastor a 1,000-member church, go out and teach a Bible study. Become a youth director. Become an associate pastor. There's steps and stages towards the things of God. It says in Mark chapter 4, it says that there's always the blade, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. That shows that there's steps and stages. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." There's steps and stages to seeing God's will come to pass in your life. So we often take these verses and make an application that, you know what, if you want to see, if God's given you a vision and if you want to see it come to pass, You have to become faithful in little and then work your way up to where you're faithful in a lot. You don't go from 0 to 1,000 miles all at once. If you do, that's not acceleration, that's a wreck. You're going to get killed by going from 0 to 1,000 miles an hour all at once. You have to start off and you accelerate. You start small and you increase. Now, see, that's a principle that applies to ministry, that applies to business, that applies to just a lot of things. And so we often make that point from these passages. But I want to point this out. In context, Jesus was talking about money. He was talking about being a steward. He was talking about the right use of finances. And if you study Luke chapter 16, before and after, you have to come to that conclusion. This is what he's talking about. So, the direct application, the context of this verse is not talking about being faithful in ministry or being faithful on a job and increasing and getting promotions. What he's talking about literally is about money. And he's saying in Luke chapter 16, verse 10, he that is faithful in that which is least, money, is faithful also in much. But he that is unjust in the least, he that is unjust as a steward over their money, is unjust also in much. That's what all of this is talking about. So here are some radical statements that if you are really paying attention, this is either going to cause you to rejoice if you've already seen these truths and are walking in it, or this is going to shake you to your core because this is just so contrary to what most people believe. But trusting God with finances is the least use of your faith. It's the smallest thing that you can do. It is the weakest use of your faith. Now, that's an amazing statement. I've had people come to me before when I'm teaching on prosperity like this and saying, why are you talking on this? You've got people that are so immature and they don't know anything about the things of God. And here you are talking about financial prosperity. Why don't you just stick with preaching salvation or the baptism of the Holy Spirit and leave this for like the super saints? This is like a doctorate degree. This is for those that want to go deep into the things of God. Let's not talk about those things. Jesus said it's just the opposite. Jesus said this is the smallest thing you can do with your faith. This is the least thing that you can do with your faith. And the logic here is that if you can't do that which is least, then you can't do that which is greater. You know, if I can't jump 5 feet, if you were here with me and we drew a line on the floor, and if I couldn't jump 5 feet, it would be to your advantage. Now, this is a financial piece of advice. You ought to sink every penny you've got, every penny you could borrow on the fact that if I can't jump 5 feet, then you ought to bet that I certainly can't jump 500 feet. Amen. If I can't do that which is least, there's no way I can do that which is greatest. I think everybody understands that in the natural. If you can't lift 5 pounds, you can't lift 100 pounds. I think people understand that. You have to start with that which is least. But when it comes to money, many people haven't seen trusting God in your finances as being the least thing. They see it as being, oh, it's so hard to trust God. No, it's the simplest. It's the easiest. It is the bottom rung on the ladder. It's a beginning place. And if you can't trust God in the financial area, then I believe that this is going to hinder you in trusting God in your healing, trusting God in your marriage, trusting God in your relationships, trusting God in your emotions, all of these kind of things. This is a beginning point is what I'm trying to say. This is the point that Jesus is making. This is the least thing that you could possibly do. And if you can't trust God in your finances, I believe that you're deceived and deceiving yourself to think that you're trusting God in other areas. For instance, you know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's a promise that if you make Jesus your Lord, that's more than just saying the words. That's talking about a real commitment that you are turning your life over to Jesus. He's Lord. He's ruler. Doesn't mean you'll do it perfectly, but you are making a commitment that that's what you want. This is what you are doing. And if you will say that with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you shall be saved. That is a promise of God. And I meet people all the time who say, oh, I've done that. I'm born again. I know that if something was to happen, I'm going to die and go to heaven. And yet those same people cannot give a tithe and cannot give. They may say, oh, well, I want to, but I just can't. I can't give. I need all of this money. I just am at a place where I can't give. And they're saying that I can do the greatest thing. I can trust God with my eternal salvation. I can trust Him with something that is infinitely, infinitely more important than money. But I can't trust Him with money. That's like saying, well, I can't jump 5 feet, but I can jump 500 feet. That's like saying, I can't take the first rung on the ladder, but I can jump all the way to the top of the ladder. I can't lift 5 pounds, but I can lift 100 pounds. You wouldn't accept that line of reasoning in anything else. But in the spiritual realm, in the Christian realm, people all of the time are saying, oh, I trust God with my eternal destiny, my immortal soul, but I can't trust Him with my finances. Something's wrong with that picture. That's wrong. And let me just point out some things. You know, I have read a number of statistics that it's around 20% of Christians who actually tithe and give on a consistent, regular basis, whether it's in prosperity times or hard economic times. They just are faithful and they give. There's around 20% of the people who do that. I've also heard the statistic that it's around 20% of the churchgoers who really make the church work, not only in their giving, but the people who actually volunteer their time and teach the classes and do the nursery and all of this. So it's about 20% of the body of Christ that is tithing and giving on a regular, consistent basis. It's about 20% that you can depend upon and count upon. Now, just think about all these stats that I gave you. There's about 20% that actually do the work of the ministry. There's about 20% that actually tithe. And one of the leading evangelists of our day suspect that there's about 20% of people who profess to be Christians who are truly going to heaven and truly possess salvation. Is it possible that there's a relationship there? Is it possible that a person who says that I can jump 500 feet, but they can't jump 5 feet, is it possible that they're deceived and that they don't really have the goods? Is it possible that people who say I can lift 100 pounds, but they're so weak they can't lift 5 pounds? Is it possible that that person is deceived and it's not really there? Jesus taught that there's tares among the wheat. You know, I'm not saying any of these things to terrorize anybody, but I'm saying that there's a lot of people who are misunderstanding what true Christianity is, and it's making Jesus your Lord, confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And I'm saying that a person who says, oh, I trust the Lord. He is my Lord. I trust Him. I'm serving Him. I believe on Him. Well, the same God who said in Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. The same Bible that says that says in Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with whatever measure you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. The same Bible that promised salvation for confessing Jesus as your Lord promised that when you give, it'll be given unto you. Now, how can you say, oh, I believe this scripture that concerns my eternal destiny, but I don't believe this scripture? I trust this scripture, but I can't trust this one. I'm not saying that this is the only criteria. But I'm saying that you can use finances as an indication of whether or not you have really made a commitment to the Lord. And this is, some of you are thinking, now wait a minute, this is for those who are really mature. These are for the super saints. Those are the ones who really get hold of these financial things, not the baby Christians. Jesus is saying it's just the opposite. If you aren't faithful in that which is least, you aren't going to be faithful in that which is much. And brothers and sisters, I know that there's some of you this has unsettled you today, but I'm just saying, You need to go back to the Word and you need to analyze what the Word says. Are you really trusting God? Are you really trusting in Him for salvation, or is it only a religious thing with you? You know, one of the ways that you can tell is by finances. Let me say it this way. I know thousands of people who I consider to be mature Christians. And the way I define that, that's a little subjective, and some people might interpret that a lot of different ways. But I'm saying a mature Christian is a person who's going to serve God whether it's good or bad. If somebody was to die in their family, if they had a financial collapse, these are people that I know are going to keep on keeping on with God. They've made a commitment to God, and it's not just a religious jailhouse religion. It's a heartfelt commitment, and if tragedy struck, they're going to still be serving God. So I'm using that as a criteria for a mature Christian. I know thousands of people that I consider to be mature Christians, and there's not a one, not one that I can think of that doesn't give and trust God in the area of their finances. But on the other hand, I could probably name thousands of people who I've met out ministering, and they're good people, and they mean well, and they're excited about the Lord, but there's just not that depth of commitment. There is not the maturity. And if tragedy was to strike, you don't know for sure if they're going to still be in the church next year. They might just turn around and walk off because they are immature and unstable. And a consistent trait among all of them is that they haven't gotten to a place to where they trust God in finances. So you look at people that I consider to be mature, and a constant trait among them is they have this revelation and they believe God and trust God with their finances. You look at immature Christians, and a consistent trait among them is that they aren't trusting God in their finances. They aren't tithers. They aren't givers. They only give when it's convenient, when they have the extra. Is it possible that there's a link here? Maturity is always accompanied by people that have financial stewardship mentality. Immaturity always is people who are not committed givers. I believe that there's a direct relationship. And you know, I've got a lot more to share about this. Jesus had a lot more to say about this. I'm going to share some scriptures with you that'll challenge you to your core. I tell you, this is important. You need to adopt this mindset and start trusting God in the area of your finances, and that's the reason I'm teaching on it. So I encourage you to listen. Our announcer is going to give you some information about how you can get this series that I've got entitled Financial Stewardship. I promise you it would be a blessing. So please listen. Please call or write today and receive these materials. And then join me again next week as we continue this series on financial stewardship.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The second teaching in the audio CD album titled Prosperity's First Step is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second CD free of charge. Request teaching number T016C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I know that some of you today, as I was teaching, were probably convicted by the Lord and thinking, you know what, I'm not sure that I've ever had a genuine conversion, and my lack of trusting God in finances is an indication of it. And maybe today you've been convicted by the Lord and you realize you need to really commit your life to God and start trusting Him and be truly born again. We've got a helpline where you can order these materials. If you'll call, they'll give you these materials. But also, we have some very mature people on our phones who will pray with you. And you could pray a prayer with them. They could tell you how you need to pray, what you need to say, and you could be born again today. And they'd love to pray with you. So please, we got that number on your screen. I encourage you to call today.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs next week for the Caris Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. And in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to invite you to join me on March the 12th through the 14th for our Caris Bible College weekend. It's going to be right here in Colorado Springs at our Caris Bible College. And I know that there's many of you that just recognize that there's something more. You don't know exactly where to go. And you know what? Bible college would be an awesome first step just to saturate yourself under the Word of God. God speaks to people. People's lives are changed. And so we're going to introduce you to our Bible college. There's actual CBC classes that you'll be sitting in on. You'll have a lunch with the faculty. There's a great time of fellowship. It goes Thursday morning through Saturday noon, March the 12th through the 14th, right here at our facilities in Colorado Springs. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs.
Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer. Be sure to tune in for more Gospel Truth on Monday.